And with that, as promised, we're going to head over to Studio 2A. I'm joined this week by The Rifle. They've got a new release that's coming out here the first week of November. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the release show, history of the band, and a whole lot of other stuff as well. But first, let's hear some music. We're going to start off with a set from The Rifle live in Studio 2A. We'll be right back. You're tuned in to 91.3 KXEI Tucson. My name's Matt Milner. This is Locals Only, and live in Studio 2A here with The Rifle. Thanks for coming down tonight, everybody.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
So why don't we start off with introductions. We'll go around, let us know who you are, what you're playing tonight.
My name's Malene. I play guitar.
I'm Ryan, and I play guitar.
I'm Kevin, and I play guitar of the bass variety.
And my name is Randy. I play the drums.
So The Rifle is a project that's been around for a little while, but not necessarily in this incarnation. So tell me a little bit about the history of the group and how it kind of turned into what we're hearing tonight.
Right. So it used to be it was a solo project. I was just recording songs like in my bedroom and layering tracks. So I was just like jamming with myself and like harmonizing by myself all the time. And I originally contacted Ryan, who I knew through some work friends, because I knew he played drums. And I was initially thinking, like, just a simple guitar drum setup. Mm-hmm. And he basically said he didn't want to play the drums. He's like, I'll join, but
as some drummers don't want to do every
day. Yeah. And I was, I don't know. So it started with Ryan. We found Randy via Craigslist, which was fun. Met some interesting folks on Craigslist.
Yeah.
And then Kevin was our last addition. He just, I don't know. Kevin, you tell us how you made your way here.
I found a bass on Craigslist for $60, and then I bought an amp.
That's not the whole story.
I was already in cahoots with the guitarist of the band, and once I had the bass amp and everything set up, I had been to every practice, so I'd already gotten a feel for what was right, and I'd been playing guitar for a really long time, so just kind of stepped in and made it happen.
Yeah.
Cool. And he was at every single practice for a while, not playing bass for us, just there
just
doing,
hanging out with us.
Doing whatever he did at the practice space.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just decided to join one day when we didn't have a bassist. And we're like, "How? What? You could play bass this entire time? You didn't tell us?" It's a coy fellow, that Kevin.
Yeah. So whenever a band mentions that they formed on, or they found a member, at least on Craigslist, I'm always curious what the Craigslist ad said. How did you...
Ryan wrote it.
It was a pretty rough interrogation.
It was long.
It was an essay type thing. And so I wrote it, and I was like, know this, yes this, blah blah blah. And then there were only a few responses that were like they replied in kind.
Sure.
And Randy wrote his essay back to us. So I was like, great.
Yeah, I wrote a lot. Like. I wrote a lot. I was very, very descriptive.
Yeah.
So I had some weird experiences on Craigslist trying to find bands. So I figured, like, I might as well say as much about myself as I possibly can, just so they know. Just so they know they're not worrying or concerned about who I am.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you've sort of whet my appetite by teasing us with a weird Craigslist story. So what was the weirdest Craigslist band experience that you had?
Well, I've only had a few down here in Tucson because I'm not a native Tucsonan.
Mm-hmm.
But the weirdest one, I'll just make a real long story short. The practice space of this band ended up being more or less a sex dungeon. And I was not comfortable with that fact, so I decided to quit that band.
After 2.5 years.
Yeah, just the more I found out about that place I was practicing in, the less I was comfortable with it. Wow. Not that I'm a huge prude or anything, but that's
sure.
a little much.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what's going on my drum set
you
while
need
I'm
to
gone.
Get us a sex dungeon. What are we doing practicing at
Pennington? You must be feeling like you're out of water.
I know.
Well, you must not be in the right part of Pennington.
You're right.
Because
there
are rooms, but in any event, so what was the impetus for deciding that you wanted to take these songs, some of which you'd had for a little while and that you had mm-hmm. recorded in a different context? You know, why make the transition to a full kind of rock band sound?
Well, it started basically because I was layering tracks. I was able to get, and I always, like, the first EP that I just recorded by myself is very minimal.
Mm-hmm.
I just kept it to the bare minimum of what I could sort of get away with, and I also kind of liked the sound. But I got to a point where I wanted to play some shows, and mm-hmm. first I tried getting a looper pedal, and I tried sort of trying to make it work that way, and it just didn't really feel right. It wasn't really what I was going for, and so I don't know. I again initially just wanted sort of like drums. I was like, all I need are drums. Like, if I just have live drums, it'll be like big enough or exciting enough to where I'll feel confident enough to like go do that in a like bar where no one wants to listen to me. And so again, I talked to Ryan, and he wanted to play guitar, so then we just started jamming, and then the sound just sort of naturally progressed from there, I guess. So,
and I'm curious, for the songs that you already had mm-hmm. you know, did you have a sense, you know, when you had recorded those songs, were there ever kind of alternate versions that existed in your mind of what would happen?
Oh, so many, so many. And a couple of the songs I was really frustrated with when I was first recording them, because I wasn't able to sort of get the sound that I wanted. Basically, yeah. I kind of like, even though it started as a solo project, I always wanted it to be like a band and a band sound. And I almost scrapped some of the songs that did end up being on the EP because I was like, it's not what I want. But now that we have the full lineup, we can kind of flesh some of those out into more the idea or the sort of like dream of band sounds that I wanted.
What's your general collaborative process as you're approaching both the older songs that have been reimagined, but also new songs that have come about since the full band? How does everybody find their parts within that structure?
I kind of want to hear what you guys have to say for older songs. Like, how do you sort of like decide what you want to play when we?
I don't know. I just do what my limbs do when I start hearing a song. That's basically my creative process, is to do whatever feels good. I don't know. I'm not much of a drummer. I just beat things with sticks.
I try and just play a beat that doesn't get in the way and sounds nice.
I don't know. Yeah. What were you going to say, Ryan?
Just about the same as both of you.
Newer songs, we kind of more just jam stuff, sort of like free jam, like whatever kind of instrumentals. And then when we start to have like parts that are sounding good or that are sort of evolving into something with potential, then I'll sort of take those by myself and listen to them and come up with the melodies and lyrics solo like I used to. But.
I'm kind of a nut about recording playbacks, practice recordings, recording all the practices, listening to all that stuff later on. I tend to be really meticulous, going back through, listening to the different parts, trying to think of what I really want to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get huge stymies. A couple of our songs I really just didn't want to write a part for because I had such horrible times doing it. It was really, really killer when it came down to recording time.
Yeah.
It really kind of put me on the spot in the studio trying to find drum parts.
Did you channel Ginger Baker for that?
Yes, I did. I watched a Ginger Baker documentary and it fueled my drumming arms.
Well, you know, the practice of recording your practices is something that it can be both a really helpful and productive, but also, kind of a humbling and self-reflective experience as well. Because, you hear a different side of yourself than, you know, what you hear when you're just in that little room and you hear your part really clearly or whatever.
Yeah.
So what has come from that experience for anyone else? I mean, do you guys listen to the recordings as well and try to draw on
it? Absolutely. Yeah. When I first joined, I had to listen to that relentlessly just because I didn't know what to do once I got a bass in the studio.
Sure.
So a lot of times I was the last person to lay down whatever I was going to play. So I had to go home and study and make sure that it was.
Yeah. When we recorded the second EP, Kevin had basically just joined. He was like in the band for a week and then we made him like... come to the studio and like play some stuff.
Oh, you bought a bass? Cool, we're recording next weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, speaking of which, we're going to touch on the new release during our next break, but just as a kind of teaser for it, when can people expect that to come into the world and what can we say just as the basic details, and we'll talk about the process and all that later.
So we were initially going to release November 5th. Some stuff has come up and we actually have to push back the release, and we actually don't have a release date for the full album, but we are going to release a single on the 5th. So,
cool.
And we're going to have a little party. It was going to be the EP release party, but everything's getting sort of shifted a little bit. So it'll be a singles release party.
Fair enough. We'll talk about the recording and that whole process and the show during our next break, but I say we hear some more music.
Songs, yeah.
So you're listening to The Rifle here on Locals Only, 91.3 KXEI Tucson. You're tuned in to 91.3. You're tuned in to 91.3 KXCI Tucson. My name's Matt Milner. This is Locals Only Live in Studio 2A with The Rifle. Thanks so much again for coming down, everybody. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
So, you know, one thing that we talked about a lot during the last set was kind of the evolution of this project from being a solo project to being a full band. And we touched on the fact that that's culminated most recently in some recordings as the band. So tell me about that process. Where did you lay down those tracks?
So we went to Midtown Island Studio with Matt Rendon.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think any of us really knew what to expect. I was definitely expecting something much more tortuous than what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt was just really awesome and basically had us set up and play live, mm-hmm. basically, like as a band together, not sort of like a sterile sound booth, like one instrument at a time kind of thing. We got to play together, so we got to sound basically exactly like we do at any of our shows.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really nice getting sort of input and sort of getting Matt's ideas. He had a lot of ideas for harmonies and a lot of ideas for sort of extra instrumentation that I think were... some of these songs we've just been playing for so long that it was really nice to hear a fresh perspective on them,
yeah.
kind of.
Mm-hmm.
That makes
oh,
sense.
Yeah. Matt Rendon's great at Midtown Island.
He's the greatest.
If you have a chance to record with that guy, I'd highly recommend it. It's a very great experience.
Yeah.
It's really laid back. And he provided some really great advice for us mm-hmm. to really, like, polish up the album.
Yeah, he recorded us slash, like, lightly produced a little bit. He sort of, like, had some guidance because it was, I think, it was my first time, like, in an actual studio anyways. And
mm-hmm.
I didn't really know what to expect or, I don't know, how you find the end point of a song when you say a song is done. Stop
sure.
adding stuff to it.
Yeah.
And he was, like, our spirit guide.
What are some of the things that you can point to when you listen to the tracks that you recorded there that you can specifically attribute to Matt's influence?
Oh, the harmonies, definitely. So uh-huh. I'm a big fan of vocal harmonies in general, but he just has a particularly good ear for them. So
yes.
There were a couple songs that I was like, oh, I have something in mind, and I would lay down like a background or a back up vocal track and mm-hmm. he would be like, what about this? And then suddenly we have these like really lush, incredible like soundscapes of harmonies that ended up mm-hmm. coming up that I definitely wouldn't have been able to figure out how to do by myself. That's a main one to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also that he just has really great instruments there too. It's mm-hmm. like a library of sounds. And
yeah.
so there are a bunch of different keys instruments that we were able to put on there, like a crazy organ that ended mm-hmm. up sounding really awesome, and what was it called? A celeste,
yeah.
Which
is basically like a
tiny, tiny piano.
A tiny little piano / xylophone.
Yeah, but it sounded beautiful. Like. It sounds beautiful on the record. I'm happy it's on there. But.
Excellent. So how many tracks did you record?
We recorded five. Mm-hmm. Five.
Yeah, five tracks.
And the ultimate goal is to put out an EP. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a single that comes out November 5th.
Mm-hmm.
What's the song that's going to be the single?
Oh, do we
good
even
question.
Know that, guys?
I don't know.
What would you like it
It'll
to be?
It'll be a surprise.
Yeah, there were some very, very extremely recent events like that happened about 4 hours ago. That
caused us to
sort of, yeah, I think put us in a tizzy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The appropriate response is come out on November 5th and find out.
There you go.
Yes,
yeah. Let's add some
you
drama
take
to
take over
it.
The interview, Kevin. You did.
So tell us about that show.
Kevin, tell us.
Well, it's going to be at the Flycatcher
uh-huh.
on 4th Avenue. We've played a few shows there, and they've got a great stage. They recently put up gold streamers and lights that alternate in the background, so that really adds to the party environment.
Yeah.
And we're playing with a few of our friendly bands. I think mm-hmm. Algae and Tentacles is
yep.
playing.
Cool.
Randall with the Desert Beats will be there. Mm-hmm. And then another guy.
Pete R.G.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Pete R.G.
He's on tour. He's from L.A. We know that he used to be affiliated with Pearl Jam.
Affiliated is an ambiguous word.
Now, I don't...
hold on. Dave Crewson?
Is Pete listening?
Dave Crewson was in it? Shoot, I hope I didn't get that wrong.
Cool.
Basically, a former member of Pearl Jam is
cool.
in... What are they called again?
PRG.
PRG.
Cool. Well, yeah. That's, you know, that's a pretty direct... connection.
It's, yeah. Actual, it's,
when you said affiliated, yeah. I thought like, you know, he was a neighbor.
I don't,
was in the audience.
Yeah. I don't really know.
Right, yeah. But in any event, so that's going to be at the flycatcher.
I'm a Washingtonian. I should know this stuff about Pearl Jam. I know nothing.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
What's your musical background? When did you start writing songs?
I have... written instrumental pieces for a long time. It was something that I started doing when I was a kid. I learned classical piano when I was a young thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started playing the guitar. I know that was a creepy thing to say. I realized that. And then I started playing the guitar when I was around 12. And I would write little instrumental things on the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't really start writing music until maybe a year before I put together the first EP.
Huh.
I spent a year, I studied abroad for a semester, and I wrote a lot of songs, and most of them were really terrible, so I didn't keep them, but I kind of started to find what I liked in writing songs and just sort of went from there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still kind of like changing and developing, I hope.
Yeah. for the rest of you, what's your band experience prior to this one? Other than the Sex Dungeon that we already talked about.
Okay, well, beyond the Tucson Sex Dungeon, I've been playing drums for about 16, 17 years, somewhere in there. Mainly up in the Northwest in the Portland, Vancouver metro area.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in probably five bands my entire life, just on and off. Just kept drumming. It's my passion. I don't know. I can't go without it. So,
is this project kind of in the vein of other bands that you've been in before, or is this a little bit of a different direction?
It's different. It's different in a lot of senses. Yeah. My last band was really experimental and weird, but we were awesome. And I really loved our music. Not a lot of other people did, but sometimes it's not about the other people. It's about you. I guess this is kind of close to a band I was in called The Worthless Children, who were, sort of a rock band.
Uh-huh.
They were also, it was a really good band. If you find them in any avenue on the internet, check them out. It was my band about a decade ago.
So there might be a MySpace page floating around that you forgot the
yes.
password for, or something like that.
I can almost guarantee there is.
I have kind of a similar experience, I guess. We're from the Northwest. I played with actually a lot of like punk and hardcore and metal bands for years and years, and mm-hmm. then I... played with a piano pop band after all that.
Yeah.
I just kind of broke into that. I was in a project called the Back Row Kings. And actually, they're still recording and coming out with their full length. And I've heard some snippets of that, and that's really great. At the same time, I was in a group called Dracula that kind of morphed into this this other band called Mercy Brown. And they put out a full length, and it's been getting some international buzz in the metal zine from Brazil world, I guess. So it's cool. I've got some writing credit on there, and I feel pretty proud about that, and those guys
cool.
are all super awesome, and I love them to death. So just years and years, I guess, of playing since I've been able to. Yeah,
and it seems like you really have kind of spanned as many genres as one conceivably can in that time as well. Kevin, do you have any?
I played acoustic guitar for a really long time by myself, and I just would play a lot of Led Zeppelin and Bob Dylan covers. So, so if you ever, I think I did like a MySpace thing at some point, and I made my name Kevin Federline on there. And then I had like I had original
that sounds
songs.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. And I made it Kevin Federline, and I got like 4,000 hits in one day. And then the next day, I couldn't log in anymore. I think they deleted it. And I was like, oh, I guess I got in trouble.
Good idea, though.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was doing. So.
Yeah. So, what do you guys have on tap next? I mean, you finished recording. Do you have any sense of, you know, what the next steps look like? Any aspirations to take this on the road for a little bit? Do more recording?
Would definitely love to do that. Definitely would love to tour, but we haven't really gotten it together yet. And I think, I don't know, we've just been writing a lot of music.
Mm-hmm.
Aspirations for an LP someday.
Mm. Trying to get into South by Southwest.
Yeah.
We applied for that.
Who isn't,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we'll see there. I don't know. We do want to do maybe like a small West Coast tour, but we haven't really organized ourselves enough quite yet. But aspirations.
We have some shows coming up too, aside from the EP.
Let's mention those other shows before we get into the last set.
Yeah, so on the 14th, we were invited by Pueblo Vida to play their re-grand opening. So that's kind of in the works.
Cool.
If you guys
mm-hmm.
are familiar with the brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And then November 20th, we'll be playing in Bisbee.
Oh, cool.
At the
Quarry.
Quarry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Excellent. And, Ryan,
one more
ahead.
Thing. I'm sorry. We definitely want to thank. We had a fundraiser in Indiegogo this EP.
Uh-huh.
And there were a lot of people who donated, and it was really amazing. I don't think we would have been able to come up with all of that ourselves mm-hmm. to go and do that. And it really put us in a good position. So thank you to anybody listening
yes,
to this now
you.
Or in the future. On the web
yeah,
is where it is.
Thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're Series listening to this ever, you could repeat this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks.
Perfect. Excellent. Now for folks who want to find out more, facebook.com/therifleband. You've got a Tumblr as well, therifle.tumblr.com. And then finally a Bandcamp page, therifle.bandcamp.com. And that has the old recordings on it as well.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
you can hear.
We're
also
me by
after.
Myself.
We're also on Twitter and Instagram.
The whole thing.
Yeah. At The Rifle Band.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. For both of
your network things. Will be there.
All right. Well, I want to thank all of you again for coming down. It sounds great. Really appreciate you talking to me.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
It's been a real nice thing.
Yeah. Well, we've got time for one more set, so
yes.
We're going to hear it. And I want to thank The Rifle, and you can stick around for... tune into KXDR for the rest of the night. The Hub is up next with Bob Girth, but first, one more set by The Rifle.
Savage dream, strange savage dream.
You're tuned in to 91.3 KXCI Tucson. You've been listening to The Rifle live in Studio 2A. Thanks again for joining us. We'll be back next week here on Locals Only. But next, we send it over to Bob Girth and The Hub. Have a great week, everybody.